If you go onto the BBC website and you go into the schools section and look under Passover, you have a page on how the Passover is celebrated today. And under that heading, it says the celebration lasts for 7 or 8 days, depending on where you live. Some families clean their houses thoroughly to remove all crumbs and shemets, leaven. This reminder is for the Jews leaving Egypt who did not have time to let their bread rise. In many Jewish homes, children enjoy taking a part in a ritual search for specks of leaven left behind. They actually put leaven in the house, and they hide the leaven in the house, and the children go around trying to hunt for it, hiding it. You know, this was what I hid 5 years ago, you know. On the evening before the Passover begins, a special service called a Seder takes place over the meal with the family and friends in the home. And on the table there are 3 matzot on top of each other. And at the start of the Seder, the middle matzot is broken and the largest piece is hidden. During the Seder, then the children hunt for it. And the one that receives it, actually finds it, receives a small prize. So notice how the children are being used in the service, in the ceremony. It says, during the evening, the story of how the Israelites fled from Egypt is retold from a book called the Haggadah. And everybody takes part in reading the Haggadah. Some in the Hebrew and some in English, and many songs are sung, and 4 questions are asked by the youngest child, and the father answers. So I want you to read that to highlight the fact that the children are certainly a large part of the actual ceremonies in Jewish homes regarding the Passover, and what they keep as the Passover. But in the Pastor General's report on February 22, 1985, there was the following announcement. It says, the question often comes up about whether or not children, teenagers, prospective members, or interested unconverted individuals may attend the Passover service. Mr. Armstrong has instructed that only baptized members may attend or participate in the Passover service, which is a sacred ceremony for spirit-begotten children of God. Now the question is, If Passover in ancient times, and the indication is in ancient times it was, very much a family-oriented affair, why does Mr. Armstrong make such a point of excluding children from our evening service, if they're quiet or whatever? So why does he actually do that? Now the answer is, if you turn over to Exodus 12, Exodus chapter 12, the answer has a lot to do with about the need to be circumcised. If we start in verse 43, and the Eternal said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. So it's excluding strangers. The children, obviously the male children would have been circumcised on the 8th day as far as the Jews are concerned. But every man's servant that is bought with money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat the Passover. And a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof, and in one house it shall be. And you shall not carry anything of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break any bone. And it says, when a stranger, in verse 48, when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to the Eternal, then let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one as born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be for him as homeborn and the stranger that sojourns among you. So it's based on that, and the fact that you find scriptures such as that, you know, a Jew is one inwardly in circumcisions of the heart in Romans 2. It also ties to the fact that we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3. And Galatians 6, verse 16, talks about those that are circumcised. It's not an important thing, but it says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God, the spiritual Israel. So as far as the understanding that we had from Mr. Armstrong is concerned, it's to do with the fact that people have to be spiritually circumcised to be able to keep the Passover. But you know, the Passover is still a family affair. And this is the point I want to make sure we understand today. It's not just the fact that they need to be circumcised and need to be circumcised spiritually. It's in fact, it is still a family affair. As Mr. Armstrong points out, Passover is a sacred ceremony for spirit-begotten children of God. And they are children of God. and it is a family relationship that's involved. Remember when Christ was actually teaching at one time in a house, and his mother and siblings came outside and were trying to get in. They couldn't get in. Somebody brought him word saying, look, your mother and brethren are trying to get into the house to actually see you, need to talk to you. And he says, well, who are my brother, mother and brethren? And he pointed at them, and he says, the people that do the will of God, and it's people that are converted, in other words, are the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Brother and sister being, you know, siblings, and mother being the church. So this actually was what he was pointing out at that time. And if we turn over to First John, so it is still very much a family affair. But the thing that has changed is the family itself has therefore changed, and that is what is different. But in 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are the sons of God, even now, while still in the womb in that sense. We're still the sons of God. We've changed the families. The family structure is a spiritual family structure. But has upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And ancient Israel was very much part of this world. Even though it was an ancient kingdom ruled by the rules of God, it didn't have the Holy Spirit. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's pointing us into the future when we'll be in the kingdom of God, being in the family of God, literally born into that family. And then we'll really understand what it's like to be spirit, to be really truly part of that family. And so Passover, in that sense, is a family affair, but it's a family of God affair. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. That's why we go through the days of unleavened bread as a symbol of what is taking place, should be taking place in our lives spiritually. But this sacred ceremony is only for spirit-begotten children of God. And so it is a family affair. It is a family affair. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, there's another aspect. As I said, when we recognize the fact it is a family affair, we can see how it points us forward to the kingdom of God, and we'll be born into that family. At the moment we're the children of God in embryo, but eventually we're going to be born into that family. And here in Matthew chapter 26, notice in verse 27, it says, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you that I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. If you remember, they tried to give him vinegar to drink on the cross. And he took a taste of it, presumably spat it out, and then refused it. Because he made this promise. He didn't know what it was, presumably, when it was first given to him on the spear and in a sponge, but when he decided, you know, when he found out what it was, he didn't actually taste it. He's waiting for the time when they'll be drinking you in the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is the family of God. It's a family of God. So the Passover, and again the link is it to Passover. Notice how it looks forward, and it looks forward to the time when we'll be in that kingdom, we'll be born into that kingdom, we'll be born into that family. So, far from the Passover not being a family affair, all that has actually changed is the family that is an affair of. And we need to bear that in mind and remember that we are looking forward to being part of that family. And therefore this is a sacred ceremony for those spirit-begotten children of God. So, the announcement said, the question often comes up whether or not children, teenagers, prospective members or interested unconverted individuals may attend the Passover service. Mr. Armstrong has instructed that only baptized members may attend or participate in the Passover service, which is a sacred ceremony for the spirit-begotten children of God. Is it a family affair? Well, there's still the need to be circumcised, but it's circumcised spiritually. It's still a family affair, but now it's the children of God. And Christ also looked forward to the church, the kingdom of God family, and the family relationship that would be in it at that time. So Passover is very much indeed a God-centered family affair.